We expect a lot from our doctors: intelligence, thoroughness, skill. But we also want empathy, something we call bedside manner. Some physicians have this naturally, others, not really. So how do medical students learn this very important skill? Reporter Marielle Segarra dropped in on a class of third-year Drexel Med students honing their people skills.
Is that every time it's you cough, you bring stuff up?
Not every time, but often.
Okay. All right. Have you had this problem before?
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, I've had colds and stuff before, but...
Never this cough.
I'm standing in a pitch-black observation room looking through double-sided glass. On the other end, a doctor in a white lab coat talks to a woman in a blue medical gown. The patient has short black hair and glasses.
All right, so you mentioned you're also short of breath, too, right? Tell me about that.
It started like a week and a half ago, maybe.
Okay.
And yeah, I just kind of feel like I can't catch my breath sometimes.
Okay. That's pretty frustrating and kind of scary, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. So when does this happen?
After a few more minutes, the doctor starts to examine her.
All right, well, I'm going to start with the head and neck exam. I'm just going to look in your eyes, nose, and, I'm sorry, ears, eyes, nose, and mouth. I think you could open your mouth, stick out your tongue, and say,
Great. He diagnoses her with asthma and prescribes her an inhaler.
We can start right away and trying to see if this helps the situation.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Well, it was great to meet you.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
As soon as the door closes, the patient jumps down from the table and sits at the doctor's desk. She starts clicking around on the computer and pulls a book out of a drawer. Microphones hang from the ceiling, and a voice overhead says,
"Please close all stations."
That announcement signals the end of a simulated exam. The doctor in the room isn't actually a doctor. Well, at least not yet. He's a third-year medical student at Drexel University, and he's examining someone who isn't sick. She's a standardized patient. That's medical lingo for an actor, someone who follows a script and pretends to have a certain disease, like diabetes or cancer. The student knows she's acting, and he's being graded on how he diagnoses her. From the observation room, I can see 10 student exams at the same time, through 10 panes of double-sided glass. Dr. Dennis Novak is the Associate Dean of Medical Education at Drexel.
What's the major complaint that you hear from patients about their doctors? My doctor doesn't listen. So we actually teach students listening skills. And standardized patients can give feedback on whether or not they feel heard. So, you know, that's part of empathy.
Dr. Novak tells me that to graduate med school, students have to pass tests where they examine and diagnose standardized patients. During their board exams their third year, they have to do 12 simulations in a row. Novak says standardized patient exams are about more than medical knowledge. They also test future doctors for empathy and interpersonal skills. Like earlier, when the student told his patient he knew her symptoms must be frustrating and scary. That all sounds great, but it's not always easy to show empathy to someone you know is acting. Novak says students sometimes have trouble taking standardized patients seriously. When he hears that, he shows them some tough love.
When I talk to them, I say, first of all, you need to get over that. You know, because first of all, these standardized patients are real patients of somebody else, and they're really pros. For the 15 minutes that they work with you, they are that patient. And they judge your ability to relate to them by how they would feel if you were really their doctor.
I caught up with some of Dr. Novak's students after a seminar. They said they've learned a lot from working with standardized patients. For one thing, the simulated exams give them a chance to mess up without killing or traumatizing someone. Here's Jonathan Rinchina, a third-year student.
You know, we learn all these, the basic sciences and the academic part of it and the lectures and whatnot, and then being able to apply it to actual person with what we're going to be doing in their future is a big step.
That's especially true for the difficult stuff, the gray areas and ethical questions, or the moments when a patient gets emotional. Here's Rachel Hess, another third-year student.
One lady was a great actress, and she was just crying because you had to break the news that her baby was going to die in the ICU, and she just like broke out in tears, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to do. But it was great to get that experience before going to a patient and having to do that for the first time. It was kind of a nice easing into it.
Some standardized patients get really into the whole thing.
My students sometimes talk about we should give Academy Awards for certain standardized patients. Felicia plays a role of a young mother whose child has multiple handicaps and is on a ventilator. And she cries real tears 10 times in a row. And our students are really moved by her.
Dr. Novak is talking about Felicia Myers. She's been a standardized patient for 13 years.
I've actually turned it into a bit of a career.
Myers works at a few medical schools in Philadelphia, including Drexel. When I met her, she was sitting in the observation room watching student exams.
We buy into the scenario. We believe in what we're doing, and we enjoy the educational part of it and teaching part of it. So from our perspective, if you're not taking it seriously, it's offensive.
Myers says it isn't hard for her to suspend disbelief.
Because if I am in that real position somewhere down the line, unfortunately, I want somebody to break that news to me in an empathetic way. I don't want someone to just stare at me, say I'm another name on a docket, you have cancer, and walk out the door.
In some programs, standardized patients also use their own bodies to teach students how to do physical exams. The standardized patient might say, here, rotate my arm like this, or you need to check for my heartbeat in these four places.
If you work in one institution long enough, you can see people progress. And so we become proud parents, sort of surrogate parents, and say, you know, you were so good when we saw you.
Sometimes Felicia teaches a student how to do an exam and then runs into that person 2 years later in a testing scenario.
So you have that moment where you're like, you remember, even though you can't say, I taught you that. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's sort of a look you share in that moment, but then you have to go into character and say, you know, I'm somebody else right now, and you two don't acknowledge it, but you're doing your job, they're doing their job, and you know it's all about good medicine.
Back in the observation room, the patient with the black hair and glasses is still sitting at the doctor's desk, reading her book.
30 seconds to start.
As the warning sounds, she throws her book in a drawer, scrambles up, and hops onto the table, ready to greet another student.
You may begin.
For The Pulse, I'm Marielle Segarra.